It's the state of Victorian trots racing and the people who drive the sport. You're one out, one back.
It's Berasari held together 3 metres. Carlos Pixel put under pressure, then Amaretto and Rockstar Angel. Berasari led. Amaretto's coming now. Berasari in front. Amaretto off the pegs to challenge Berasari. Here's Amaretto. Amaretto over the top. Grab Berasari. Then Rockstar Angel, and Amaretto's coming away. Amaretto beats Berasari. Rockstar Angel third. A Piccadilly Princess.
And g'day from JT. Welcome to another edition of One Out, One Back, the closing stages of last week's Group 1 final leg of the Triple Crown for the mares, the Queen of the Pacific, and a great drive coming from behind with Amaretto being able to overpower Berasari and thus deny that mare the Triple Crown. Joining me from HRV, Cody Winnell on One Out, One Back. How are you, Cody?
Morning, JT. Great, mate. Going well. What a drive. What a win, Amaretto. It was 10 out of 10, Kieran Manning. You know, keeping Berasari working that little bit early and then knowing exactly when to fold him, so to speak, and get him behind. And then, bang, Amaretto wins up the straight. Cracking race, cracking drive.
Yeah, she won that early speed battle, but then Kieran did hand up to Nathan Jack, and I think that was the key. And you could just see as they straightened up that Amaretto was just going to be the fresh horse on the scene.
I think it was essential, wasn't it, winning that speed battle early doors and then being in a position to make a decision. And so that's what Kieran was able to deliver with Amaretto. And Amaretto's always had that gate speed. In the run, JT, you did always feel like Amaretto was perfectly placed, obviously. But Berasari, shooting for the Triple Crown, you can't take anything away from her. She's done such a great job the last, you know, 3-4 weeks at Melton. But doesn't go down as with the Orange Agent and Make Mine Cullen as a Mare's Triple Crown champion. But yeah, take nothing away. She was still superb in defeat.
They're not easy things to win Triple Crowns. To keep a horse at top level trainer and driver for three outings is not an easy feat, and she was very, very gallant in defeat. But well done to Amaretto, of course, who steps it up this week in the Golden Rain. She's taking on Lenny.
Yeah, exactly. What a battle. And in the past, Lenny the Sharks had the measure of Amaretto when they've met in Victoria Cups, etc. This time in, and we're going to hopefully speak with Chris Elford shortly, Lenny the Shark comes into this race at the weekend with two straight defeats, JT, which is very rare for Lenny, whereas Amaretto comes in at the absolute peak of her powers. The one thing about Lenny the Shark this weekend, Chris Elford's back in the Spider. He knows that horse pretty well.
Yeah, I think he does, and it'd be good to have a chat with Puppet, because I think the name of that race will bring back a lot of memories, because he had such a close association with the mighty Golden Rain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's won the race once. Chris Elford won the Golden Rain free-for-all once, and that was with Lenny the Shark back in 2015, I think it was. So I was going through the honour roll because I thought this would be a race close to Puppet's heart.
For sure. He's won plenty, but some would certainly stick out. Let's have a quick look back at last weekend's action at Tabcorp Park, Melton. We've already touched on the Queen of the Pacific. One of the really strong wins was in the Group 2 Vic Bred Platinum. Better and better. Very, very smart young horse, Cody.
Yeah, absolutely, and a really great story, this horse, Better and Better. It's won 3 out of 4 now, JT. It's a gelding by Better Than Cheddar. And speaking with Keith Cotchin after the win in the Empire Stallions Vic Bred Platinum Classic, he sort of told me the story of this horse, how it had actually come about through tragedy, and that is his the mare, CC Sheffield, gave birth to a deceased foal, and he decided to give the breeding game away, Keith, and so he gave the mare to Dennis Pangraccio, his good mate, who then sent it to Better Than Cheddar, and the result was Better and Better. But the key here, Dennis then said to Keith and his wife Shelley, guys, I want you to race this horse with me, and this is Better and Better, a winner of 3 of 4. And based on what we saw at the weekend, I think this horse can go straight to the top. It was interesting listening to Jason Bonington yesterday on Gate Speed JT talk really highly of Better and Better and what he thinks this horse can develop into. It looked super smart at the weekend. Really had to dig deep to beat I'm Sir Blake, and they gapped the rest. So, that's the sign of a really smart horse.
Yeah, certainly was there to be beaten late coming from that wide gate, but when you see a horse that's so well mannered and so young, and a credit to Keith Cotchin, because this horse is a very, very well mannered horse for such a young horse.
Absolutely, that's a really good call, JT. You know which horse Keith had back not too long ago that went to the top? Tanabe Bromac, who actually contested an Inter-Dominion series and won a derby and several country cups. So he's got a good, you know, he has been there, done that, Keith, and he said he's thrilled to have another one who might just get him to those heights again.
Indeed, in the Trotting Colts and Geldings Group 1 final, Moreton Bay is a very, very smart animal.
No doubt about that. The manners were first class, which you need at this stage, don't you, JT, in a two-year-old trotting Group 1 final. And David Jack, he's a really good educator of trotters, Think I'm Stately, and several horses on his team at the moment who are all very young. He does a really good job to turn them out at the races in great order, nice and early. And Moreton Bay, 13.9 metre winner in a Group 1 race at 2 years old. This horse is really exciting. Showed good gate speed, good manners, and just dictated from the front. Was well backed into $1.90. A bit short of fixed odds, I think. So, yeah, all honours with the winner here, Moreton Bay. And a terrific performance by David Jack, just one of the real nice guys of the sport.
A couple of nice soft early quarters, came home in a couple of 29s, 201 mile rate, plenty of upside for that young horse. The Trotting Championship, Fabrication, really nice drive by Nathan Jack. Red Hot Tooth, Tornado Valley, softened each other up, in my opinion, were there to be beaten, and along came Fabrication along the pegs.
Really good summation, JT. I agree with you 100%. And Fabrication is that sort of horse. He's an opportunist, and that's not taking anything away from him. He's an opportunist who's proven it himself at this kind of level a couple of times now. So to do it in the Yabby Dam Racing Australasian Trotting Championship was a huge thrill for David Abrahams, the trainer, and his family. And David spoke about that after the race. He wanted to keep pointing out in a modest way that this horse is no champion. And, you know, it depends, I guess, how you define champion, because if you compare it against other absolute superstars of the sport in history, well, you know, he's clearly not. But for David, he said, I'd love to have a stable full of Fabrications, and I think he's a champion in David's eyes, at least in the stable. So a really good win, great drive by Nathan Jack. And Regal Pepperell, JT, looked like it was going to cause an upset down the outside. I mean, Fabrication was big odds too, but really loomed large. Michael Barbie and Anne-Marie Conroy have done such an amazing job with this trotting mare, Regal Pepperell, who's come from basically obscurity, you know, 6-12 months ago, to being now a genuine Group 1 class trotter. Amazing job. This horse used to gallop regularly. Gee, it's so well mannered now.
Well done to Connections. And the final big race of the night was the Phillies Trotters event, and Fear the Yankee took that out in pretty fine style too. Made a perfect use of the one gate, and a great drive by Anthony Butt, and she was too good.
JT, will it surprise you to hear that Blake Redden, when he first saw Fear the Yankee trial, he said this horse will win the Breeders' Crown at two?
No.
And the horse was beaten in a trial, I think. In fact,
not,
I think
not
it pulled
now,
out of that
not,
trial.
At that stage, probably yes, but not after I saw what I saw on Saturday night.
Yeah, so Blake's predicted it early, one of our good form specialists in here at HRV. And, yeah, Fear the Yankee, Shane Gallagher, Anthony Butt, a terrific performance. And speaking with Shane after the race, he was full of praise for this filly, and he's hopeful of a really big two-year-old campaign. She races like a horse that's older than two, and that's a really good sign for a two-year-old. Big watch on that runner-up too, JT, Fox Force 5. I really like that as well. This was the first time she didn't gallop in a race, and she finished off powerfully from barrier 7. I think she's got a good chance come the Redwood a bit later on this year.
Turning to the Elite Lop Maori time, which heat is she in, and where has she drawn, Cody?
Heat 1, barrier 6, outside of Bold Eagle, the superstar trotter, the superstar French bred Bold Eagle, JT. So she's got her work cut out for her, and Todd McCarthy, he's got some decisions to make with Maori time. However, reading Luke Humphreys' reports, he's filing for us this week at thetrots.com.au. This young man knows his international form inside out. And there's some real discussions and decisions to be made about how they drive Maori time here, JT. We know how fast she is off the arm. I guess what we don't know is how quick most of these other ones are.
Well, that's the unknown, isn't it? It's we're really judging apples against oranges here. All we can do is hope. Look, she does have that speed, and I think she's going to have to use it, Cody.
Absolutely, because that's her biggest weapon. I agree with that, JT. I think trying to get a line, I mean, you look back on Sundon's Gift and some of the other horses who have gone over and competed, and so many Australians haven't even made a final. Our trotting gate here has improved so much over the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, right? Mm. I wonder if the level of improvement in our trotters and the times would be going, climbing quicker than the Elite Lop over there, and how quick the improvement is, if that sort of makes sense. That might give us some sort of guide as to where Maori time fits in from a historical viewpoint, but I think it's a bit of a guess, and we don't know until we keep sending them there and trying. And she'll acquit herself well, but gee, she doesn't map well necessarily unless she can burn out and lead, or burn out and get in behind Bold Eagle.
I think probably. Well, you've got to leave something in the tank if you do make it through to the final later that day, but you've got to get there firstly. That's base one.
Absolutely. But I think she's the fifth fastest trotter in the series this year. But again, she's run a 151 at Menangle. How does that stack up against Solvala?
We just don't know. We just don't know, do we?
And we don't know what time Bold Eagle or some of these other horses could run. So, looking forward to it, JT. Sunday night, we'll be up late and watching the coverage on Sky, because it'll be fantastic, I'm sure.
And we'll take Maori Time's heat, which is about 11:20-ish, I think, Cody. Is that right? I'm not really... I know about English time, but I'm not too sure about Swedish time, whether it's an hour or so different. And the final's on about 1:20 in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to go with approximately for both of those. You're in the ballpark. I don't have the times in front of me, but I know they're about there. It's almost 11:30, and then you're looking at about 1:30 for the final. So fingers crossed she makes it through, and we can really enjoy that coverage on RSN and Sky.
Absolutely, and looking forward to seeing Luke Humphrey's social media work. Just head to the Trots handles, and you can catch up with Luke.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
With JT and Cody Winnell, and let's hit the phones now and have a chat to Chris Elford, who'll be behind Lenny the Shark in the Golden Rain free-for-all on Saturday night. How are you, puppet?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Mate, top of the world, apart from this cool weather. Hey, this race must bring back a heck of a lot of memories for you, because you had such a close association with the champ Golden Rain.
Yeah, that's for sure. He was a great horse, Golden Rain, and probably the first really good horse I ever got to drive, and first Group 1 winner.
And so therefore, Chris, you'd think this race would hold a special place in your heart in terms of winning it, and I know you've won it before with Lenny the Shark back in 2015. You reunite with him this Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton. He goes in with 2 seconds next to his name. Are you confident he can get a number one penciled back in alongside it this weekend?
Yeah, he's got a nice trailing draw, and it's a nice field. Amaretto's going well, and a few other nice free-for-alls, but, at his best, you think he'd be right back to winning form.
Chris, I haven't spoken to David Aiken since that last start defeat. What did you make of it? He had the front. He looked to control things, but he got, overtaken late by Vinny Chase. What did you make of that run? Was that worrying at all to you, or maybe worrying's not the word? I guess the listeners would be interested in your assessment of that performance. I know you weren't driving him.
Yeah, it's hard. I only saw the race from Sydney, but you wouldn't expect a horse like Vinny Chase to be able to run past him, but David sort of thought he was probably a bit quiet on him and let the other one sort of sprint past him, and then Lenny wanted to race it, so he might have lost a little bit of his zip. Now he's getting on in age, but as we saw at Shepparton, he's still got the strength, so apart from probably losing a bit of speed, he's still very strong, and I don't think they'd be fronting him up if he wasn't right.
Absolutely, and he's third up from a spell as well, so you'd imagine he'd be just starting to come into his own a bit?
You would think so. Usually he goes pretty well fresh, but, in saying that again, the age sort of probably takes a little bit out of that. So I'm sure he'll bounce back on Saturday night.
It's a really good race, that's for sure, JT. Good field.
It is indeed. What's the plan? Are we going to sort of head to Brisbane, or are we just going to keep him in this fast-class race during the winter months, Puppet?
I'd say it's probably I just sort of turn up, drive him race day, and David sort of does all the work at home with him and knows him best, so that'll probably be up to him. He might sort of be past going to Brisbane, but I think they're looking at the Lansmith Mile again. At Menangle would be his main aim.
And then obviously put away with regard to maybe the Vic Cup into the Interdom 18.
Yeah, I'd say, that would probably be his swan song if he's still going all right, come that time. But if he doesn't come up this time and show he's anywhere near his best, I wouldn't be surprised if they retired him, because, we don't like to see great horses like him getting beaten in races like he did at Cranbourne.
I tell you what, though, that's a magical, script that we'd have for the Interdom. If Lenny the Shark was going well, going into that hometown Inter Dominion as his swan song, that would just pull the crowds, I reckon. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, no, that'd be something special, wouldn't it?
He certainly has got an affiliation with punters and people, this horse, hasn't he, Chris?
Oh, he's just, that sort of horse. He's got that funny name, probably didn't look good early, but he's turned it into a great name, and young Sam, Kevin's grandson, named him, and it's turned out to be a great name, and he's been a great horse right throughout his career, and, he's just that casual, and anyone can just walk up to him and pat him and stuff like that. And for a stallion, he's so quiet. Everyone just falls in love with him.
That's a very good point, because he is still a stallion. But the thing I love about him, mate, is he is just so brave every start.
Yeah, he gives his all, and that's the thing. He's had his injuries through his career, and a lot of horses, when they start hurting, they want to give it up and that, but he just sticks his head out and tries his heart out.
Oh, yeah, no, sorry, JT, I was just going to say, absolute superstar, and another horse, it was almost a segue with the funny name, to quickly get a comment on Wobbly, Chris, ahead of the Harness Jewels. Great win in the New South Wales Trotters Derby last start. What did you make of it, and everything on song for the Jewels?
He travelled up to Sydney and home again really well, and apart from a little blunder at the start, his run up there was super, so he's come back and just had a couple of quiet days, but back into full steam ahead for New Zealand. He seems really good.
How much would it mean to you to go over there and win one of those Jewels, Chris?
Yeah, that would be something out of the world. No one from Australia has sort of probably taken the right sort of horse over there to win, and I think this year with the Australian ones that are going, we've got a few good chances, so hopefully we can bring at least one or a couple home.
Yeah, someone has to do it eventually, so this is the year, I reckon. Puppet, you and Wobbly, bring it home.
Yeah, well, they come over and get all our money off the market, so it's about time we've got a bit of theirs.
Absolutely. The All Blacks do it to us in rugby. The Trotters are doing it to us at the moment. Let's hope that we can reverse that. Hey, Chris, thanks for being on One Out and One Back. Best of luck with Lenny on Saturday night. Hope he finds the winner's stall, and good luck with Wobbly over there in Cambridge.
Thanks for having me on, and thanks.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.
Champion reinsman Chris Alford, be great to see us take some of those Jewels. It's been such a long road, but this year, Cody, I think we've got the firepower to do it. Hey, before we wrap up the program, can you give the listeners an update on the young driver Josh Hobelton, who had a mishap on the track last week?
Yeah, he certainly did, and if you're watching the races from Globe Derby on Saturday night, you would have seen this fall. It was quite a serious fall. He was aboard Regal Scribe in the Alabar Golden Nursery Final. His two-year-old was checked, broke gate, tangled in gear and fell, and that unfortunately sent Josh Hobelton crashing to the track, and Danny Hill was also involved. Danny Hill, JT, actually was able to get back up and win the next race, which was a fantastic performance by Danny. Yeah. But young Josh, not so lucky. They're a tough breed in this game. He's looking at about 3 months on the sidelines, they think, at the moment. He's unfortunately fractured his sternum. Ooh. and horrible stuff. And he also suffered a seizure from the head knock. So quite serious stuff from Josh. However, is expected to make a full recovery and be back in the gig in, at this stage, 3 months. But, the all focus for young Josh at the moment is just on healing as quick as he can. And it'll be great to see him back out there on track.
I think sometimes punters and people that watch this sport forget that every time these men and women go out on the track, they actually do put their lives on the line.
They put their lives on the line to put on this show for the fans and for the punters. JT, very well said, and you really feel for them when they get injured, because it is a dangerous caper.
Speed of recovery to you, Josh. Hey, that's our program, One Out and One Back, for this week. Cody, where do we get all the form for the trots every day in Victoria?
Yeah, one-stop shop, thetrots.com.au, JT. Thanks very much for this program.
Go Lenny on the weekend.
My oath.
It's RSN 927's One Out, One Back.